Good morning.
Good morning, Rob.
Good morning, Rob.
Ben?
This is Tim.
Hey, Tim. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good. Good. Who else do we have on?
Ben is here.
Hey, Ben.
How are you doing?
Good, good. I got your email. Thank you.
Yep. Feel free to, if you want to circle back directly and catch up, feel free.
I wish we had 3 hours.
Even the boat.
I mean, it's kind of crazy. I'm really kind of lost when it comes to this thing. Because clearly your presentation, as you've outlined, could at least take a half an hour. And I'm sure the FA could take at least a half an hour. And, of course, I could take 3 hours. So what am I going to do with, 10 to 15 minutes?
So I think the goal is to have you talk for 30, which obviously still is not 3 hours. But the more Mary and I have talked, nobody's really there to see us. So if we can
right.
just quickly set the stage, talk about why we believe so much in what you're talking about, why Touchstone is relevant in this conversation, and then get out of the way, that's going to be our goal.
Okay.
So we had to give them an outline that was enticing enough for them to want to accept it, and that's really the crazy evolution of how we ended up here. And Ben's exactly right. I mean, we know they're there to hear you, not us, but we need to make sure we can bridge the gap so they understand what our connection is to you. And so we really will not take more than, 5 to 7 minutes of that time, if that. I mean, I think, honestly, we can really, don't you think, Ben? 10 minutes max, but 5 to 7?
Yeah. And so what Mary and I are going to do is we are going to do a call later today, the two of us, and we'll record our comments for what we're looking to put out there and then send it over to you to give you a sense of how we are planning to tee it up. And then
okay.
love your feedback as far as, other things you'd like us to add or take away or things you're going to cover you don't want us to talk about, just because right. we're not going to be all together to do a dry run of this. Thought that might make it a little easier for you to kind of segue.
Great, great. What about our friend?
Wild card.
Yeah. I know. It's crazy.
It's
that
true.
Came out of left field. I've never heard of something like this before, where you ask somebody to be a spokesperson for people they don't know. Hopefully, if he's, in the 90% of normal advisors, he'll be able to adapt to what we're talking about and just tie into what we want to discuss. We're gonna set some time to sit down with him before the actual presentation to make sure his comments align with ours. The concepts you talk about are so universally applicable that regardless of what he says, I'm pretty confident we can bend it to say, look, he's using the things that Rob's going to tee up. But it's a really weird scenario.
But, Rob, what you always do a good job of saying is there are, in case it goes south with him and his process is counterintuitive to what you do, you're always good about saying, look, there are many processes that exist. Ours is the best, the most surgical, the most actionable. You can pick whatever you want. I'm going to tell you about something that I know does work, et cetera, right? But I think he's going to be fine. He's disciplined. He has a process. He utilizes the firm resources. That's what we asked him to talk about, and leave it at that.
So when is he going to be – the other thing is the discipline of time. When is he going to speak? After you guys?
I think he'll speak initially.
Yeah.
So my thought was I'll get up and introduce who all's speaking, just welcome everybody to the event, and say before we dive in, we've asked Raul to come up here and just talk a little bit about why this content is so important to advisors like you and how he's seen this in action. Let him go for 5 minutes at most around how he grew his practice, and then Mary and I will serve as the bridge between what he says, whatever that is, and what we know you're going to say, And then depending on where we end up, it may be appropriate for him to come back in at the end and say, yes, all that stuff is great, or maybe Mary and I'll just wrap it after you finish, Rob.
Okay. So I'm going to just plan. Look, I can adapt, right? I'm just going to plan on 30 minutes. If it's 20, I'm okay. If it's, you know, if it's 15, I'm in trouble, but I can do it. So I'll plan on 30 minutes and be ready for 30 minutes and keep it to 30 minutes.
Rob, I don't see it being much shorter. If by chance Raul ran long, I think Mary and I would just get up there and say, listen, we had some more comments planned, but it's really more important you hear from Rob. And so,
right.
Rob, we're going to hand it over to you and let you – I mean, you touched on all the things that we would talk about anyway. It's really just a way for Mary and I to get some visibility for Touchstone.
Right.
Good. Okay. one other thing that – let me bring – I mean, I'm loving our new trainees, right, our new clients that are training with Supernova. I started, you know, we've been working with Eric Tiller, and now Mark Schweiowitz, he did the map. Let me just give you some feedback. So he did the map, right, and he likes it, and it worked. And I asked him for his min and max, right? So we talked about the maximum number of clients. He has about 90 clients. He can get down to about 80 maybe or 70, whatever. So that went great. When I asked him for the top 20% of his practice that gives him 80% of his business, what was that number? When he went to map, he couldn't find it. Okay. He may not be using it right. And you may have it glaringly sitting there. But he said, no, we have the 10 and we have this, et cetera. But I can't find, I'll have to do the math. Well, the math is pretty simple, right? But but my point is maybe if the top 20% of his practice that gives him 80% of his revenues isn't sitting out as part of MAP, maybe we could adjust MAP a little.
Is this your guy? I didn't catch the name of who this person was. Is this your guy, Ben?
Mark
Schiewicz. Yep. Okay. I was just checking to see if it was someone that is on my in my group.
No, it's Ben. It's Ben.
Yeah, this was mine. That was he was engaged with MAP, and then he already had a meeting with Rob set up.
Got it.
So.
To answer your question, Rob, the top 20% is not readily available on a document we get from Morgan Stanley. We can get to it in the second step, but not from the document they send up. So yes and no. So on the second step where we tie it to their household data, there we can generate who that top 20% is. But from the client scrub version that they send us, we can't see that. All we see is the top 50.
Okay. I mean, it's it's just a little tiny issue that I was sort of surprised at.
It's more their data until, like, to Ben's point, we can overlay it to their households. And so we do that with them. So maybe just to know that, the only answer to that is we need to do that before Rob's initial conversation with them. Then I guess you have to conduct both steps, Ben. Before Rob, we're actually going to do that with this other team that we're going to ask you to coach from Raymond James, that one that they're going to bring to St. Pete eventually. So Tommy and I talked about the benefit of accelerating getting PAR out of the way with them, like you're just through the first two steps so that they had all that data before we start with Rob.
And I think that's the answer. I think Mary's right there, is get to that second level so they have all of that client data laid out exactly how you want to see it, Rob, and then bring you in to execute on the data itself. This was just a little odd because he was already scheduled. We didn't know it until we got in front of him.
Okay. Good. I'm excited because the more we integrate, the better, right?
Sure.
And the more it looks like you guys are, you know, you're doing it in preparation for me, it's brilliant, right? Then they're going to be all, then, and you guys know the language, so, you know, it would just look really brilliant. And they'll
That's
be
great.
Like very, you know, they'll be impressed, you know. Then they're ready for the first call. You know, they've already done the math, and they know what that, you know, the average of their top 20% is 2.5 million. In it, you know, in it's 25,000 in revenues and 2.5 million in assets.
Yep, for sure. And if I can ask, yep. How did that call with Mark wrap up?
How did it wrap up?
Yeah, is he going to engage in a full engagement, or
he's all in. That was basically we did a prep call, and then this was our first week call. So as far as I'm concerned, he's signed up. I don't know. This may be one of those that are like, oh, he is? How's he going to pay for it?
yeah.
I don't know. I just, you know, Cindy calls. Why don't you call Cindy and ask what's going on?
Okay, I can.
Yeah, because I'm not sure. You know, I just am there when Cindy sets a schedule up and I coach, you know.
Yeah, and so, obviously I've kept an arm's length in this one because he was familiar with you before ever interacted with us, and so I didn't want to step on your toes as far as how the interaction came about. To the extent that we can continue to partner with that, because I know we're still working with him on par, all the better. But I didn't want to over-insert myself with that first interaction.
No. It looks like, you know, so you have no arrangement with him, right, to pay for anything or anything, or do you?
No, we don't. He was already going on that path before we talked to him.
So this is kind of a bonus, right?
Yeah, this could be great. And so we'll continue to work with him on par, and I'd ask if you can to reinforce the how much that work can help as far as the execution of what you're going to talk to him about. And we'll keep kind of working tangentially and just keep in touch on this one.
Yeah, I would say, you know, as far as I'm concerned, he came to me through you guys. So he's an introduction. And therefore, in my mind, you guys have carte blanche. You do whatever you feel like with this guy, and I'll include you in all the calls or do whatever, as much involvement as you want. It's great for me because then it's Will, right? That's there.
I got
Will on the ground, and he's getting credit. And I mentioned him again and you on this call. And so, God bless. You're getting credit where you're with, you know, no outlay of cash. So, ideally, frankly, this is the way I'd like them all to go. You know, because. Look, there's enough value in what you do and enough value in what we do that, you know, you shouldn't have to pay and they should pay and we should get paid. So, you know, in the end, that's something that's sustainable. You know,
the other is
a temporary lead-in to a great process. So the more value is in MAP and PAR, then the more we – you know, they value you. But I think the key is the follow-up, is the accountability, the presence.
For sure.
And knowing where we are and what and where, you know, where they should be and what they don't know. He's an extremely eager learner. Extremely. So... And I would say the same thing with Eric. Eric Tiller is an extremely appreciative person, a very eager learner.
Definitely.
So these are almost identical in their sense of, you know, almost desperation of where they are and what they need. They're like, you know, there's the saying, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Well, for these two guys, it's like I'm providing oxygen for them.
I think that's true. It's really rewarding when people follow the process and execute. It's motivating for us as well.
Yeah, I know. And my biggest challenge is that I'm not there. I'm not there physically.
Yeah.
And the fact that I could have a part of me there is brilliant. You know, that would be just magical. But especially when it comes to acquisition, the accountability and acquisition is the key. And you know, it's frustrating. It's frustrating for them. It's frustrating for me. But I'm having really. There's a guy named Abe Horowitz who I just had yesterday, and he's down in Coral Gables. He's with Morgan Stanley, another second time through guy. I may have mentioned him before, but
yeah.
He's doing centers of influence, mastermind group, social prospecting in terms of the community involvement. He's getting on boards. He's following the script almost perfectly. And he's very methodical. He's very smart. He's very committed. And it's working. No, it takes patience. But this will be a fabulous case of a person that had virtually nothing going on going to full-on acquisition. So, I'm very excited about it. Anyway,
hey, when you were coaching with UBS, did you ever do anything in the Carolinas at all?
I did Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay.
I've coached Merrill Lynch. You know, I've coached the Merrill Lynch team in Greensboro.
Okay.
I know the Carolinas pretty well.
Yeah. I'm just asking because we're starting a pilot where we just figured out, actually Ben was the one who got it for us, and we just figured out how to mine the data to do PAR there and the tools that we needed. So that went well. We're going to coach a few teams, but I'm just wondering if you have before I step in and start doing some of this PAR stuff. And my thought is, if it goes well, then the natural next iteration is we move forward with a couple of those people in the same way that we have with you. But I don't really know yet what that's going to look like or if these are going to be good teams. I know one of them really well. I know one of them fairly well. And the other one I don't know at all. So we'll have to see.
Yeah, Cindy keeps a pretty decent log of everybody we've ever coached. So if you can give her names and even locations, she can probably cross-check those.
Okay. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, you can feel free to call to do that anytime, Mary. It's all good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I emailed you this morning. You may not have seen it, but your pipeline, we took it and sort of reworked it a tiny bit. Tommy had a great idea, and now neither one of us can remember what it is to add to it. So just know that as we go through the process, maybe with Eric Hiller and other people, and then anyone you're coaching and you're using the pipeline with, if they've got a best practice that comes up or an idea, let us know, because There was something I wish I could remember what it is, and I will with Tommy, but he had a really good idea of something small to add that was really impactful to it. But anyway, when you get a chance, take a look at it. It's still the same pipeline. It's just it's a little bit like slightly enhanced visually, and it's got a couple of other little things on it, but nothing major. So
good. I've got it in front of me. Thank you.
Uh-huh. And it looks like the car dashboard that we do, so we thought there would be some benefit to the continuity of having it look similar.
Great, great, great. Okay, good. I'll spend some time. I'll spend a little time on it because I'm very interested in it. And I think it is one of the keys to, you know, acquisition is a nightmare to coach. It's elusive. It's, you know, they want to avoid it like the plague. They want to acquire clients. They just don't want to put themselves in an uncomfortable position. Trying something new. So, and it's all new, you know, for most of them. So they do what they do, but when you try and get them to do something new, it's really, really hard. So the pipeline is one accountability tool. Having a person there checking in on them periodically in me.
And the action, and we think that those 90-day plans, we don't call them 90-day plans anymore, we just call them action plans, that you see Tommy send Eric as a summary, we like those live documents too because it keeps everyone on the same page.
Great. Great. Anything about Supernova or listening to the calls? We've kind of gotten away from it as we've gotten into the action here. But any questions on the coaching process of Supernova? I know there's a million, but
So I haven't been great about listening to the calls outside of the work that we've been doing, but I do want to make a comment about the Eric Tiller stuff. There are so many amazing sound bites that you were just laying out there on the call with Eric, so I'm really glad we have it recorded. So I don't know if you were on there silently or weren't able to be on, or I know Bray was on it, Ben. It is awesome. To the point that, like, the pain of how you fire a client, it's different to hear you coach a team and I'm not connected to that team. It resonates in a much different way when it's Eric or someone that I know and I hear him go through the pain of the process. To the point that we really thought we could pull out some of that to make sure we're using it, you know, when we're coaching people and talking to people. And, I mean, we could even put together a one-pager on a lot of that information. It was really great, so I thought it was awesome.
Mary, was that one of our recordings?
Yeah, I have it. Yeah, it's a recording. I have everything we've done has been recorded. Lori's recorded them all. So I think she sent it. I don't know if she sent it to you and all of us, but I think she sent it to me. So I'll get it to you if you weren't on that. But it is worth a listen.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I can't remember where it is, but where in that hour it is, but it was awesome.
Thank you, Mary. It's every once in a while, you know, it all comes together and you're in a creative position, an emotional, you know, accurate position. So I was emotionally connected to Eric on there and I could feel his pain. And so I dug for some great material. And sometimes it's a little different than even what I coach, you know, you create as you're on stage, and I agree. It was a special call. I can't remember exactly what we talked about. That's why it's good to record him. But it was one of those good calls because he was, you know, he was all in. He was very enthusiastic, but he clearly was clinging to the words, and he's so appreciative of giving him the words, and
it was,
you could see, his voice transitioned from almost panic to calm and. Okay, I can do this. I see. Okay, I can do this. You know, it's like I threw him a lifeline. Yeah,
and
it was good.
The number of people who ask us, advisors when we do workshops and things, who ask us how to fire a client, it's unbelievably high. It's really interesting.
Yeah, that's the, and that's the one thing, when I was coaching UBS and was doing literally thousands of financial advisors, the managers were on the calls many times. I did so many presentations. The one thing the managers, so you think, okay, a manager can take over now, right? He could do the whole thing. Why couldn't he do it? He's got the workbook. He can print the workbooks. I mean, that wouldn't have been fair. It wouldn't have been a nice thing to do because I was supposed to be paid to do this. But theoretically, you could pretty much do it. But the one thing they won't do, and they just literally won't do, is coach a financial advisor on how to fire their clients. They just won't. There's something there that makes them feel as though there's some kind of conflict and they don't want to be that person.
That's so weird. On the reporting stuff that we just, the data that we mined with them this week to try to figure out how to, put those pieces together and do PAR, on one of these reports, when they do like the buckets of clients, I don't know if it's 25%, but I can't really remember how it's divided out. It could be five or four quintiles or quartiles, I can't remember. But the second to the last rung, that bucket, is basically dead weight, and they call them emerging clients. That's not an emerging client, right? So even
right.
in their language, in the reporting language, they are afraid to say anything about that. It's interesting that you said that.
Yeah, it's really political, and I think they feel like because they represent the firm, and if they tell the client, the FA, to get rid of clients, they feel like they're stealing the client from them. I think that's it. And if somebody else tells them to reassign them, it's a reassignment. For them, they're stealing them and giving them to somebody else. And so they just really are uncomfortable doing that. So from that point of view, the firms will never do what we do. They never will. So in a sense, it makes us necessary forever.
Yeah.
If for nothing but segment, because they just refuse to do it. They'll give them the information, they'll hire me, they'll hire you, they'll show the data, they'll tell them what to do, but they will not coach them through that process.
That's crazy.
Yep, I know that. Having been a manager and watched it, I will tell you it's true. And then after 12, 13 years of doing this, I'll tell you it's still true. I just can't, I've never seen it happen. So just a psychological thing. Anyway, any other questions about the process or specifically about any of the lessons? Or I think if you guys can, I think we've got really two good cases here of people that are eager learners that will adopt the model perfectly, with Mark and Eric. I think those are two good new ones. So, the more you hear it, the more you can't be on all the calls, I understand, but listening to them, and it's like you, Mary, you picked up on one there that was a pretty special one. It's kind of fun when you get one that's really good, doesn't it?
Yeah, agreed.
You can feel it.
So I need to download the e-copy, which I'll do today, of the multiplier. I've read it in the past, but I need to catch up on that a little bit. It's been a while, so I'll take that as my homework outside, unless you've got something else for me.
That's great. And for Ben, too, and Tim, the people, I'm shocked at people that they really don't know how to go to Amazon, go to, the AVX, to Amazon's audio version of books and how to find the book and then how to download it. I think it's not economics because they're not expensive. I think it's more just how do I do this, you know? And then how do I listen to a book on my phone? You know, how does that work? You'd think, especially when they're my, you know, not my age, but I mean, you know, in their 50s or 40s or something, kids, I'm sure know how to do it. But I would not just assume that everybody knows how to do things.
Right.
And Rob, do you recommend doing the audio version as opposed to just reading the book?
Yeah, very, very much. Especially with the multiplier. And the reason is this is a behavior change that's the hardest thing that I've ever done, which is getting people, you know, we free up their time, we give them what they want, and then we ask them to do something that they've never done, that they're very uncomfortable doing. And until they know it so well they can use my words, the probabilities of them actually doing it become very low. And if we can solve this puzzle, we can fix the productivity of major firms. So we help their productivity by segmenting, organizing. And I always tell people you get about a 30% increase in your business from just segmenting and organizing. The other 70% when it comes to doubling your business comes from introductions from existing clients and new introductions. And the question is, will they actually put themselves in a position to accelerate that process? It will happen gradually. What I always tell people is, look, you're going to double your business. Instead of taking 10 years, I can have you do it in 3 to 5. How's that sound?
Right.
And that's half the time. That would be a doubling of their productivity. And so that's what our goal is. You know, I used to say you could double your business in 24 to 36 months. That's if we've got somebody with tremendous talent and great skills.
Right.
The average person has average talents and below average skills. And that's what we're dealing with. Now, when we go to visit with these guys, the private wealth advisors, they're going to have above average talent and above average skills. So where you help them is in the margins. And, you know, just the little things that, and a little thing can be worth $100 million to them. A little tiny thing, like using the folder, like I did with Ken Shapiro. So I wish we had Morgan Stanley, more Morgan Stanley guys that I've coached in the private wealth area. But
yeah,
I've coached almost all the private wealth advisors for UBS, but not Morgan Stanley, unfortunately. Well, you got to start somewhere. I'll give
there
them my
go.
Stories. We'll give them my stories and tell them, you know, hopefully we can move the needle and create some value in a short time.
Awesome.
Hey, Rob, I know we're
close
to time, but one more question for you or comment. So I texted Will during the after we talked about Mark Shiawitz. So we went through the second step with him after your call, so he now has that data that you were looking for initially. If you're okay with it, I'll plan to come on that next call with you. You may have to provide some color as to why Will and I are there, because we didn't get in front of him before he first interacted. He may be a little confused, but just some comments around, like, doing this with the data from PAR makes execution so much easier, and then we can hold his hand through the data he has to identify all those pieces, the top 20%, et cetera.
Yeah, and he's gonna need any hand holding you can do with him in terms of, you know, getting rid of clients, and you know,
yep.
It's just and you don't even have to do anything with people. You know, it's sort of being by the bedside while they're sick. You just sit there. You know, you think you have to always talk, but you don't. And in this case, you know, he'll ask things like, well, do you think I should get rid of this guy? Or do you think I should get rid of this guy? Or what do you think? And the answer always is yes. And you know, I always tell them the rule of common sense trumps all other rules. And you can also do the fill or kill dinner, you know. And I always say, if it's not worth a dinner, then reassign them. So, you know, if you've got a guy with $5 million but he's never done any business with you, before you reassign him, have a dinner and tell him what you're doing. So you reintroduce yourself with the supernova right. mantra, right? And then be excited that he's going to be part of it and assume he's going to be. And when he says, no, I don't want to pay those fees, then you say, well, then I've got a great guy for you.
Right.
Right?
That's awesome.
And that's the key, is I'm not reassigning you. I've got a great guy for you. You're going to be happy with this guy. Does that mean you're firing me? No, I'm reassigning you to someone that is better suited for you.
That's the great verbiage that Eric Killer, I think that resonates with him quite a bit. Although he's more limited, and that's the struggle with some of these indies, he's more limited in his ability to assign to someone else. Like the real, like he can because he's in an RJA office, but the real RJFS people, they don't really have anyone else to send them to. Then it has to become the you're fired story.
Yeah, and you know, and I even made arrangements when I had a very small office to send the people down the street to independent. Didn't that sound crazy?
Because you were actually managing your people? Yeah, that does sound crazy, Rob. That's crazy talk.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, yeah, I'll let you guys go. I know you're busy.
Thank you so much. Good talk. Yeah, you too.
Thanks
again.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Bye, guys.
Thanks. All right. Bye. Thanks, guys. Bye.